Greetings, fellow tech seekers. Sean from Silicon Theory here, and this is Silicon Theory Radio. Wherever it is that you're listening to us, whether it's on anchor.fm or your favorite podcast player, thanks for tuning in. We are back for the new year, although I did have a show last week regarding a new set of headphones that I'm very excited about. But after some illness in the family and some personal time off around the new year, we are back and hopefully better than ever. So thanks for sticking with us. We've got a lot of new content coming for the new year, although I will preface this by saying that some of the shows may actually be longer and there may be fewer of them. I personally am transitioning to a new role with my day gig, and I'm going to be having a little bit more flexibility with my schedule, but the hours are going to be a little bit different. So it's going to give me some time to be able to hopefully record some longer episodes, some more in-depth episodes where we'll talk about technology and the way that it impacts our lives, but I'll be able to do it in a little bit more of a long form. If that makes sense, and then also be able to explore some more topics in depth, but that does mean that there probably will be fewer of them. So once I know, ideally what I'd like to do is have Sean P. pick up a couple of those episodes during the week and have him do some more of the shorter newsy type recaps, and then I can do some long form pieces as time permits, but we're still working on shooting our year-end video for the best of 2018, so that tells you how our scheduling has been. But in any event, that is enough of the housekeeping. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the biggest news surrounding the beginning of the year, and that is the guidance from Apple regarding their earnings reduction. And it's kind of a big deal, and there's some cause for concern, and then there's some reason for optimism there as well. And I will get into all of that after a word from our sponsor. So, about those Apple people. So Tim Cook has issued a letter to investors indicating that the guidance for Apple's earnings is down a little bit. Now, the first thing that I want to discuss with this earnings letter as we unpack it a little bit is Apple's fine. Like, there is nothing wrong with earning $84 billion instead of earning $89 billion. Like, that's not, there's nothing wrong with Apple at all, period, full stop. So, you know, again, as with many things that are investment related, investors want growth. People who put money into a company want to see it consistently growing and always growing, 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 because that means great things for their stock prices. And Apple stock price is fine. Again, it's around $125, $126 a share. So, oh my God, Apple's only the fourth most valuable company, according to the stock market, in the world. The sky is falling. We must sell, sell, sell. None of that is happening. In an interesting note, it is kind of curious that as Apple drops into fourth place, the three companies ahead of it are Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. So if you take the first letter of those companies, it spells M-A-G-A. That was weird. And I thank Twitter for that very funny comment on the United States political scene. Anywho, $84 billion in revenue is fine. Like, Apple is still an extremely valuable company. They're still growing. They're still doing things that will make them money, that will generate them profits. And when I say growing, I mean that areas aside from the iPhone are growing, because Apple's services division is doing extremely well. I heard on the 9 to 5 Mac daily podcast the other day that they reported earnings of $322 million from the App Store just on New Year's Day. So if you can make $322 million in a day, you're doing fine as a company, period. Tim Cook has a couple of different strategies that he thinks may have come into play for the loss in expected earnings. And again, these are expected earnings, not definitive numbers. It's basically they forecast how much money they're going to make. They either make more, they make less, or they make the same. Like, every company does this. Every organization does this. They project things so that the investors can use that information, much like an injury report in sports where people can know how to bet on games. Investors use this guidance to be able to determine whether they want to buy, sell, or hold the stock of this company. having said that, Tim Cook's kind of, he's, if you'll forgive my language, and if you've got some kids and you're listening in the car, turn this down. He's kind of bullshitting us and his investors. And I say that because I don't think that the reasons that he gave are truly significant enough and truly get to the meat of what the problem is. And he's talking around what I consider to be the real problem, but not really outright saying it. So let's get to that point in the same roundabout way that Tim Cook did. So one, he blamed reduction in the battery replacement costs, which, as most of you know from Throttlegate, the price of replacing a battery here in the United States went from $79 to $29 throughout most of 2018 as a way of Apple's mea culpa saying, hey, we recognize we throttled you because your battery life was going poo-poo, and so we'll make up for it by giving you a freshie, and it'll only cost you $30. Good on you, Apple. Thanks very much. So Tim Cook is saying that more people took advantage of that program because it was $50 cheaper than it would be otherwise. Okay, I'm calling shens on this. It's absolute crap, and we'll talk a little bit more about why that's absolute crap in just a second. But another reason, almost exclusively, Tim Cook is blaming a significant loss of growth across iPhone, Mac, and iPad divisions in China. Greater China, as he puts it. So I'm assuming that's the greater Chinese market, including great portions of Asia and the Asian market. Now, this may be true, and likely from a literal standpoint is true. I mean, Tim Cook can't straight up lie. Like, he can't put numbers on a balance sheet that aren't true. So I'm sure that the growth did stall out there. But again, he doesn't give the reason why. And some of that is competition. Most of you are probably familiar with companies like Huawei and Xiaomi and ZTE and other companies in the Asian market that make technology and make it at a significantly reduced cost and reduced margins for some of their product lines. And that, I think, is the real crux of the argument. So let's unpack. Tim Cook says fewer people than they expected upgraded to new iPhone lines. And I posted on our Instagram page not that long ago a picture of the discounts that you can get on the iPhone XR, the cheapest iPhone almost ever to be produced. And I got into a very interesting discussion on our Instagram page or on Instagram with a few other fellow technology enthusiasts. So if you aren't already, make sure you head on over to Instagram and follow us on @SiliconTheory so that you can see some of those discussions and also get some pretty cool pics of technology as well. Anywho, the real conversation that needs to happen is, why are these people not upgrading? Well, why is the market in Asia down, I think they said, something like 100% from what they forecast? Like, why would fewer people be spending money to upgrade? Why would fewer people be buying iPhones, Macs, and iPads in China? Because they cost too damn much, and that's it. Tim Cook did not straight out come and say, hey, we messed up on the pricing of our products and are bad. That's why we didn't make as much money. Now, we still made a shit ton of money, but we didn't make as much as we thought. Because fewer people are willing to spend $1,000, $1,100, as much as almost $1,500 on a phone. And yes, the iPhone XS Max in the 256 gig configuration runs you like $1,450 before tax. So, and I've used that phone. It's a great phone. A family member of mine got one recently as a gift from some other family members, and it blew my mind that someone who is a retiree, who is still very active, but hadn't had a smartphone basically their whole lives, received as a gift a almost $1,500 smartphone, which is the top-of-the-line iPhone that Apple offers. It's just mind-boggling. But some of that certainly happened, but not as much as Apple had predicted. And again, I believe firmly that the largest portion of that is because Apple's phones cost too damn much money. People don't want to spend, people are unwilling to spend the amount of money that it costs to get into the Apple ecosystem or upgrade in the existing Apple ecosystem. And yes, it is cheaper to spend $50 to keep your iPhone 7 or your iPhone 6S or your iPhone 6 going for another year than it does to spend $50 or more a month to upgrade to a new phone. And I do think that some of the technology community's backlash or bad-mouthing or whatever it is that you want to call it against the iPhone XR hurt iPhone XR sales. The screen is low resolution. There's no other way to put it. And yes, it does match the resolution of Apple's other LCD display products, but Apple offers a better, higher quality, higher resolution panel in another phone. And if you're simply comparing apples to apples, if you could get the mid-tier XR for $799 and you're financing it anyways, why wouldn't you just spend $200 more to get the iPhone XS, which is appreciably better in almost every way except for maybe battery life? There is a lot going on with Apple. And yes, they are a premium products company. They have always been a premium products company and likely will always be a premium products company. So you're going to have to pay a premium to get into their products. I own a MacBook Pro. I have an iPhone 6S. I have a few other Apple gadgets floating around that I can't even think of right now. But I have been more willing to purchase refurbished items or last year's items as opposed to the brand new, cutting edge, and most expensive Apple products. I think a lot of people feel that same way. There's competition in China from companies like the aforementioned Huawei, Xiaomi, and even other Korean companies, which include LG and Samsung. And it's simply a matter of the competition is more fierce now than it's ever been. And that means bad things for Apple, and it means they missed their earnings projections because they overestimated the number of people. Hey, big truck. They overestimated the number of people who would be willing to spend increasing amounts of money on their products when, quite honestly, last year's products, in a lot of cases, the sole exception that I can think of is the Apple Watch Series 3 versus the Series 4. The Series 4 is a significant upgrade, and if people don't have an Apple Watch, you should probably buy the Series 4. It's pretty awesome. I know a couple people around the office who have them, and they're very nice. I would love to have one myself. But again, I opted for the Series 3 because it did 90% of what the Series 4 does at about 50% of the price for when I got it anyways. And that, I think, is becoming more and more commonplace, not only as it's always kind of been in greater Chinese markets, but also here in the States, where people are becoming more and more cost-conscious, phones are becoming more and more of a commodity, and, quite honestly, especially in Apple's case, there's so much headroom in these devices that you quite literally can hang on to them for 2 or 3 or even more years. That's why I'm calling shenanigans on Tim Cook's letter on earning guidance. That's why I think that Apple will still continue to make a lot of money, but maybe miss earnings expectations until they have something that can really drive people back into the ecosystem, make them want to join. Maybe that's the wireless AirPods charging case. Maybe that's the AirPower charging mat, which was supposed to have come last year and still hasn't shown its face yet. But in any event, Apple needs something to convince people, once again, that the amount of money that they're spending on Apple's products are actually worth it. That's the show for today. Thanks for tuning in. As I mentioned, this is a little bit of a longer show than normal, but I wanted to try something a little bit new. There's a lot to talk about, and hopefully I'll be able to do more of these kinds of shows in the future. So if you enjoyed it, call into the station, let us know. If you didn't enjoy it, call into the station and let us know, I guess. And if you do enjoy the show, make sure you favorite us or give us 5 stars on whatever platform it is that you're using. And remember, you can find all of our written content over at SiliconTheory.com. It's been a little light there lately, but with the new year, hopefully things will start to pick up again. Again, you can check out our social feeds. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Silicon Theory on all of those. And you can check out our video content over at youtube.com/C/SiliconTheory. You can also hit the link in our bio for that as well. Thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone enjoys your 2019 so far. And as always, we will talk tech soon.